No, I like to get a little over here.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm just as big as I can.
He cares as much.
Are we recording right now? I don't know if we're recording. If we're not recording,
give us like a red dot. Oh, that thing says live.
Well, so Tommy Coffee, we are backstage at New South Championship Wrestling right
and
now.
And we're live!
So, Tommy, this is the first time that we're doing this live cast.
This is actually my first podcast.
This is my first. We can pretend like this is my first podcast too, because I'm not very good at this stuff. You know,
this is our first not knowing if we're live podcast.
Yeah. So, Tommy, let's start off with your career.
Yeah.
We're backstage right now at New South Championship Wrestling. You are one of our mega stars here in this promotion. So let's kind of start with, how did you start out in the wrestling business?
Short backstory of why I wanted to do it before we get into that. My granddad used to pretty much raise me for the most part for the first 12 years of my life, and he always watched it. So by default, I started watching it. And, you know, I always thought they were like real superheroes and all that. They had the colorful tights and all that stuff. Sting was actually the first wrestler I ever saw, and I was just like, holy hell, what's going on? I don't know, and it's just like, it was like watching like a live comic book, and it was just awesome. It was magical, and like, you had the good guys versus the bad guys and all that stuff, and it was great. And then just, I became obsessed with it. Read everything that I could, watched everything that I could, like documentaries, new stuff, old stuff, everything, even back to like silent black and white tapes and stuff. Then finally got to the point where I tried to figure out how to get into it. Didn't really know how to. One of my buddies won tickets to a local show in Knoxville, and he was just like, hey, you know, like, I don't want to go to it. He's like, do you want the tickets? I was like, hell yeah. Yeah, you know, who wouldn't?
Well, and what was it? What show was it?
Tennessee Mountain Wrestling.
Tennessee?
Yeah.
So who runs that? Was that a Landell?
Yeah, that it was, yes. It was Terry Landell.
Terry Landell.
To be exact, yes. He did get my start and all that stuff. You know, whether you like him or you hate him or whatever, you know, like, you still got to give the guy respect for that. Just after the show, like, I walked up to a guy doing ring crew, and I was like, man, how do I do this? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, how do I be a wrestler? He's like, go talk to that guy over there. And he points to this, like, short little troll-looking guy that, you know, was Terry.
And
I was like, oh, all right. So he's, you know, tells me, and, you know, we'll jump on ring crew, do what they're doing, and then talk to me after that. So I was like, all right. So he comes up, he's like, you know, I'll tell you what, bring me $1,000, we'll get you trained. I'm like, sweet. Yeah, because everywhere that I read it, like, every other school was like $3,000. So I was like, oh, yeah. So I was 17 at the time, and, you know, I'd already been working anyway since I was 15. And I just started putting money back anywhere and everywhere that I could. Cutting corners as much as I could to be able to put everything back. A couple of the guys at the church I was going to at the time, the Fountain Missional Church, Mark and Sherry Robinson, they ended up were like, hey, you know, this is your dream. This is what you want to do. We want to help you do it. So for every dollar that you raise, we'll match it dollar for dollar.
Uh-huh.
So I raised a half. They raised a half. Brought the check to them. Bam. You know, started training from there. You know, the original trainer that I had was Chuck Terry, who works under the American Patriot gimmick. And about maybe 8-9 months after that, I started kind of branching out from Knoxville, going to like West Virginia for NWA Mountain State at the time. And then just started getting bigger, better shows, doing Nashville, Kentucky, anywhere that I could get booked, I was going, whether I made money or not.
Oh, what year was this?
It's 2010.
Oh, wow.
So, 2010, whenever I got going, June 6th, I think, was the first. That's what I give credit for, because that's the earliest number I remember.
Uh-huh.
I've been dropped on my head a couple times, and, you know, since then. But, so I'm almost at the 10-year mark. So I got a couple months left to go before that. But it's definitely been a hell of a journey. I went from, you know, just a kid in Oak Ridge that, you know, there's a backstory to that, too, but that's for a different podcast. But, you know, like... going basically from just like a kid that nobody knew to here I am almost 10 years later. And I mean, like, I've done work with WWE, I've done work with TNA, I've done work with Ring of Honor,
MLW.
Yeah, MLW. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. You know, like you look at everywhere that I have been compared to where I could have been, compared to where I feel like I should be somewhere at least by now.
Uh-huh.
And it's just. I'm not trying to be one to have like an ego or nothing, but I mean, it's just, if you don't believe in yourself, who will believe in you?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I mean, it's just like, I feel like I can hang with the guys. I mean, I've proven that every time that I get in the ring with somebody, you know, there was a point in life where nobody wanted to get in the ring with me because they're like, ah, Tommy's terrible. Like, we don't want to get in there with him, but instead of letting that break me, I took that and I was like, okay, how do I get better?
Right.
How do I improve myself? So I started going to seminars everywhere that I could. Whoever was doing a seminar that had ever been somebody in any shape, you know, way, shape, or form, anywhere, and doing what I could, and just, you know, still like picking brains, asking advice, sitting guys down and be like, man, can you help me do this? Can you help me figure out this? Like, you know, just different stuff like that. But
so talk about some of your gimmicks. Some of the different faces of Tom Coffee. Is it Tommy Coffee or Tom Coffee?
Well,
I only know you as Tommy.
Yeah, like, you know, Tommy Coffee, yes. But the Tom Coffee was thanks to MLW. They felt that Tommy Coffee was too, I guess, generic.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they were like, oh, we got to make you sound older. So I was like,
Tom.
Yeah, so I was like, dude, whatever works, man. I don't even care. Like, call me, like, you know, like Garth Brooks if you want to. I don't give a damn. Just give me a chance. You
right,
know? Like,
right.
So that's what that's from. And whenever they posted the video of me and Loki, and it got so many views and hits, I was like, "Hell, I might as well stick with it." You
right.
Know?
Yeah.
And I was like, "Who cares if I got an extra M and a Y attached to it or not?" Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, short the name, but the guy's still the same. It doesn't matter. Like, whenever
sure.
we get in there, I'm still gonna punch you in the face. So.
Sure. So the many faces of Tom Coffee. Let's
yeah.
talk about what'd you start out with.
Well, I started out with my trainer wanting to play off of like my Cherokee lineage and stuff like that. Now I'm not like full Cherokee before everybody starts going all PC and jumping my ass over that. I'm just Cherokee, Irish, German. So
uh-huh.
I was like bred to drink and fight. But he was like, man, you know, wrestling's missing the Native Americans. Like, they've not had one in forever. Like, you need to do that. You know, get the quote-unquote headdress, which are really ceremonial feathers for the people who may or may not know that. He's like, you'll go with the face paint. Get, like, some buckskin stuff. And I'm like, man, like, I'm about to make a lot of people really mad. Because, obviously, with my skin, the Irish German shows more than
right.
the Cherokee does.
Because right.
I'm, you know, almost like Seamus, but...
Right.
So I blame that, and then you got the hair coming from the German Irish side, and you know, so I mean, it's like I am only looking like a third of what a typical Native American should look like, and so did that for a good little while, and then finally got to the point where I was like, man, I just felt like it was holding me back.
Right.
And it's like you can only do so much as that, and then it got to the point where like the older I got, and the more I started learning about just life in general, the more I was like, man, like. This is really disrespectful.
Right, right.
Because
like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, man,
yeah.
like, I mean, yeah, it gets my foot in the door and it gets me books and, or your bookings and, like, people like it. It's good for TV. But at the same time, it's like, you know, so many people are getting disrespected by me doing that.
Right. And you're just doing what your trainer told you
right.
to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it got to the point where I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm going to scrap this and just wing it and hope for the best. So I scrapped that. Just started running at the time as Tommy Brandon. Anthony Lucasio actually named me that in Clinton, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I had told him what was up, how I felt about everything. And he's like, you know what? Like, blah, here's this, yada, yada. Blended one of my middle names in with it, and boom. So then I started working in Nashville with first Mike Porter, then Burt Prentice. Burt Prentice, you know, actually started with him thanks to Shane Andrews. He couldn't make the date, called me. He's like, hey, can you replace me? I was like, yeah, man, sure. So,
uh-huh.
yeah, there's that. So, Shane Andrews, thanks for that.
Thanks for not making the date.
Thanks for, you know, being responsible enough to find a replacement and for giving me the opportunity for it. So, you know, I mean, nobody else at the time had or would
right.
have. So, you know, def props to you. And then I got with this dude, Clay Moore. So he was like super jacked. Well, still is super jacked. He looks like Superman mixed with John Cena if they had like a baby. But anyway, got with him. Found out that apparently somewhere down the bloodline we're related. So that was kind of, you know, weird small world, I guess. But got with him. He helped me like polish a lot of stuff. Like really helped me kind of figure out exactly like where I was in life and all that. Gave me all kinds of help just to help me figure out who I was at the time and whatnot, and, you know, a direction in life to go in at least.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, just we would get to shows early. He'd work out in the ring with me. You know, like, hey, you know, here's how, you know, you get out of this. Here's how you put this on, blah, da, 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 da. Like, here's how you're going to go for this, whatever habit, you know. Then from there, just started getting with Thorn, the guy who makes my gear, or made my gear. You know, I don't think he's doing anything anymore now, but he had pretty badass gear, though. best gear I've ever spent my money on, at least. But Got with him, and then just got with Chase and a bunch of other better guys, Matt Boyce, who just really kind of helped mold and shape me and learned everything that I could. In 2013, Tom Pritchard ended up doing a 3-month camp in Knoxville, and I went with that. We started with a class of maybe 20, 30 people, and we ended with a class of 7.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
It was him and Devin Driscoll were running out of Next Level Gym next to you, Cut My Joe's at the time. But
is that the same D3?
No, well, same guy but different place.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's a D1 on Hardin Valley now, and then of course Tom Pritchard has the Jacobs Pritchard
right.
Wrestling Academy with him and Glenn Jacobs,
yeah.
Obviously, or Mayor Kane, whatever everybody at home knows. Anyway, so I mean, he's doing pretty good for himself and all that stuff too. An incredible class of kids coming out of that school right now. Actually, one of them was a kid who used to work at a place that I used to work at, and he was just asking me, man, he's like, you got going, how do I get going? And I told him, I was like, man, find a school that like somebody reputable,
uh-huh.
Get in there, get with them, do whatever they tell you to do, ask questions, ask anything that you can think of, and just learn. And his name was Dylan McQueen, and now he is roughly 1 to 2 years in, I think, at this point.
Yeah, he works with Burt Prentice a lot.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's working working for Burt Prentice, like you just pointed out. And he just recently came back from Canada doing a stand-up there and all that stuff. So, I mean, like, I'm really impressed with that kid. Like, which, honestly, at first, like, looking at him, I was like, man, like, he'd be a good manager.
Right,
but
right.
I was like, there's no way he's going to make it in the ring.
Right.
But, I mean, at the same time, that's what people were saying about me back forever ago, and uh-huh. Anybody else who starts. Everybody looks at you like, man, they're not going to make it. But then, thankfully, he proved me wrong on that. And I don't mean any of that in a negative light.
Right,
it's
sure,
just,
sure.
Just first glimpse and all that stuff, just being human,
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's, all right, dude, he's over. he's making all kinds of waves, breaking ground. I'm so proud of that kid. But, and then, so there's that. Got with Dr. Tom, getting back on track here.
Uh-huh.
Got with Dr. Tom, and then after that, got started doing seminars with Jeff Jarrett in Middle Tennessee. Did a couple seminars with Jerry Lynn that you actually helped get started.
Uh-huh.
Now me and Jerry Lynn are like super cool.
Yeah, because Jerry Lynn is probably one of the nicest guys.
Yeah,
in the business.
Like I'm
but
almost.
I met you with the Arcadian tours.
Yeah.
In the very beginning.
Yep.
Which would have been 2016.
2015, 2016,
yeah. And I remember the first thing I thought that, like, when I see the first thing that pops in my head is Bam Bam Bigelow.
Right.
It's all for the since the day I met you. That's, and to this day, I mean, even before you came here, when me and Carver would have conversations, that's what I would talk about was like, fucking Bam Bam Bigelow. Mm-hmm. You're someone that can move rather quickly. You have great agility. You seem much lighter on your feet than maybe, I don't know, maybe you are, but you're a big guy.
Right.
But you're someone who's able, you can bump, you can move around, you can sell, you can feed, you can do kind of everything like Bam Bam could.
Right.
He was a big dude that could work with any style and any size of a person. And that's kind of what I always saw about you. But the AWA thing did not work well for you, right?
No.
You were on the first tours?
I was on every tour. I think I didn't do the last tour they did.
Okay.
But other than that, I did all the others. The first one got snowed out after the first night.
Yeah.
God, those were... Yeah, that was a trip.
Yeah.
A trip.
I mean,
where,
every night was a trip with AW, with Arcadian.
Yeah. This is definitely, especially that first tour getting snowed in with a bunch of wrestlers under one roof.
And staying at Leah's house.
Yeah. You got 3 days and you only remember one of them, but... Definitely a lot of stories, and we can almost write a whole book just off of that, but...
Yeah.
Then the second tour, they finally trusted me with like ring crew, all that stuff, paying your dues like everybody should. Because I mean, like, nobody knew about me,
right?
They didn't know at the time that I'd been in like 5-6 years, and they didn't know who I'd been with or nothing because they didn't hear about me,
right?
And so I mean, I didn't bitch about it or nothing like that. I mean, it's just I did what needs to be done, I showed up early, put everything together, worked out in the ring with whoever was willing to work with me, again, picked brains. You had an entire locker room with like a fountain of knowledge to go with.
Yeah.
You had guys like Chase Stevens. You had guys like Cassidy Riley, Bruce Santee.
Damian Wayne,
Francisco Ciazzo.
Gangrel.
Yeah. Gangrel is one of the greatest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had all that going on. And, I mean, it was like an umbrella of knowledge that you could just, like, sit like a sponge in the locker room and just absorb anything and everything that you could. And then, like, pick pieces of, like, okay, like, I liked what he said about this. Like, I'm going to tie that somehow into my stuff. Like, I see what he's saying here, but that's not really me. I may not use that, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just, like, a really good, almost even life-changing to an extent experience. Because, I mean, that was the first time that I'd really gone on any form of a tour more than, like, two-ish days at a time.
Right.
And, like, the first time that it wasn't just like, okay, I'm going to go here, but now I got to go to this town right after we leave here. So it's like you didn't have that time to build the friendships, the camaraderie, all that kind of stuff. So that's what was cool about the AWA things. Yeah, the overall big picture, no, it didn't work out. But me personally, it was one of the best things that could have happened to me to be able to get my foot in the door with, you know, guys who could help me better myself.
Right, yeah, sure.
So.
And you spent some time working for Ox Harley.
Yeah.
Now you're here working at JCP Promotions and,
yep,
and New South Championship Wrestling. And so, you know, you're at this 10-year mark of your journey. And we had this conversation earlier tonight. Mm-hmm. What's your shorthand goal? What do you want to do over the next year, the next 3 years, the next 5 years? You know, where's Tommy Coffey at in 2020? Because you're at that 10-year mark.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, I mean, how old are you, Tommy?
I'll be 28 here in about 2 weeks.
So you're still crazy young.
Yeah.
You know, and at this point in the wrestling world, I mean, it's often referred to that you don't really hit a stride until you're 38.
Right.
Between 38 and 45 years old. That's when everyone's making their money. That's when everyone is at the top of their game. You know, so you are still so young in this game as a 10-year veteran. What's your short-term goals right now?
Well, my short-term goals are pretty much the same thing as my long-term goals, is to get somewhere, be mainstream, be on everybody's TV, become a household name, have everybody in this industry across, you know, however many countries wrestling exists in, knowing who I am.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's ultimately, because I feel like your goals, regardless of a short-term or long-term, should still build to the same thing. Otherwise, your short-term goals might as well be pointless if they're not having anything
right
to do with your in-game view and all that stuff. But not that there's bad things having short-term goals, but point is being, everything needs to build to where you want to be in life.
Right.
It is my personal philosophy on that. But, yeah, I mean, overall, like, I feel like it is time for me to finally be somewhere. Like I mentioned earlier, like, I've worked with WWE, I've worked with TNA, Ring of Honor, MLW, to some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. I've been there, I've had guys look at me, they've all told me the same thing. You know, man, like, you're really good at what you do, like, you're great. Like, William Regal, even, to kind of name drop here, told me that I was phenomenal in the ring, and then I looked like I was killing the other guy, but was like, oh, we just want you to get a little bit older, and then, you know, but he said, like, we do want to see you back here.
Right, right.
So, I don't exactly know how that's supposed to work out, right, but you know, it's been like 5 years since that, so obviously that's not happening soon, but it would be lovely, but, and I mean, like realistically, like, so many people are like, oh, I want to work for this one company, and if that doesn't happen, I'm done,
uh-huh,
but like, no, I want to work for professional wrestling. Like, I don't care if, it, I mean, like, it would be great to make it to WWE, but I mean, say if I can't get to WWE now, but I can go to, like, New Japan, like, I'm fine with that. I can go to New Japan, build my brand, you know, perfect my craft, learn everything that I can still to keep improving myself and constantly evolving myself to where I don't stay stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't stay boring. Like, I always change and evolve. And then that's
right,
ultimately what my goal is just to keep getting better and keep improving myself until finally somebody somewhere.
Me? Keep talking.
To where finally somebody somewhere says, hey, you know, we're finally going to give you your shot. We're going to give you your break that you're looking for. Now, whether that's by kicking the door in for opportunity, making my own door, or somebody saying like, hey, you know, we're going to try this and see how it works. But, you know, other than that, I don't know where Justin went. They called him. As he said earlier, we are live backstage at New South Championship Wrestling. I think he's got to go do important things. A bell rung for somebody somewhere. So, I guess, I don't know, until he gets back, I don't know. I still don't see him. I don't really know what other questions he had really asked. But while we wait, I guess I could just give generic, like, life advice, career advice. Don't do drugs. Stay in school if school's your thing. Some people don't learn by books. That's why I say that. I mean, me being one of those, I did go to college. I do have a degree in astrophysics, but not everybody learns by books. And it's important that you learn the ways of however you want to learn things to make your own life better. In short, it's your life. Do what makes you happy. Don't care what other people think. Blah, blah. Yay, team. I still don't know where Justin is, so I apologize for boring anybody who's currently listening to this. Like I said, this is my first podcast. I don't really know what people, you know, really talk about on podcasts outside of, like, you know, like the Jim Cornette podcast and stuff like that, that I don't know if we'd get sued for saying on here. But you know what? Until Justin gets back, we're going to go have a little Q&A with pretty much anybody else. Brandon Wolf. Brandon Wolf. Until Justin gets back, we are currently live on a podcast. What would you like to tell anybody who might be listening to this? Because I have no idea what Justin was going to plan on asking. So I don't want to keep boring them. So we're going to bring you into this.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Guys, this is Brandon Wolf. He's a super cool kid. I met him, what, two months ago?
Yeah, 2 months ago.
Something like that. Apparently, he works everywhere that I work, and I never knew that until the other night.
Yeah, it's weird, like, because everywhere he's been going after 2 months, I have been following him like a creepy stalker. It's just been just crazy, man. Last night, and he's been teaching me a lot of things on the road. And last night, he gave me a real good lesson about how to work a body part during the match when people just kind of don't want to cooperate.
Pretty much, yeah. It's all about what ends up working out in the overall end game. I'm sorry, I'm slightly distracted. There's a lot of things going on right now.
There is so many things going on right now. We could easily lost and talk about strippers, yeah. But we just kind of are like on our own little page.
Yeah, I don't know. But get back to Brandon Wolf while we're waiting here, though. I apologize, guys. Again, I've never done one of these nor conducted it, so you know, bear with me here.
Same here. This is like two lost birds trying to find nowhere.
Yeah, it's like we're two blind squirrels trying to find an acorn. On, like, Antarctica. I don't know. You've seen Ice Age. You know how it goes. We'll eventually get it, I guess. So, Brandon Wolf, tell them about your gimmick.
Well.
Who is Brandon Wolf?
Brandon Wolf is a rising upstart, a guy that wants to prove that he doesn't need the moonsault. He doesn't need the Canadian destroyers. He doesn't need the cool, flashy stuff that everyone does because, let's be honest, they're all trying to be like Will Ospreay.
I'm not. I'm mean gravity.
You're not being a little awesome, you know. There's quite a lot of people my size because I'm 5'6". I am 160 pounds. People my size want to try to do all those things that people try to elevate throughout the past years at the Canadian story, like the Spanish fly, like the super kick. And I just hate it because I want to do something different to stand out. Because if I keep doing the same thing, I look like a freaking high spot mark, don't I?
Yeah, okay, yes.
Hey, and Justin's back, ladies and gentlemen.
He's back.
We commandeered it. Whatever.
Very important spot, too, you guys.
The captain is back. Yes. We're no longer marooned.
So go ahead and give out your social media. Brandon, you give out your social media.
Yeah, I just got Brandon because I didn't know what the hell we were supposed to do. So I just grabbed people. I was like, hey, speak words.
We're
going to make speak until somebody listens.
Tommy Coffey is doing an interview.
I'm doing the interviews now. He started it, but I took it over. So Kevin Martin, what would you like to say to whoever's listening?
So it's his fault that I missed the spot.
Oh,
by the way. It is totally, like, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be doing this in the first place. I still don't know what I'm doing with this. Trent Taylor, what would you like to say to things?
No, don't get my name in this shit. we're breaking the fourth wall here.
The fourth wall got broke like forever ago. And fourth wall don't exist no more.
Apparently, J.D. Sloan didn't remember the spot.
I remember the spot. I just didn't know it was time for the spot.
We need a monitor backstage.
Yeah. Brandon Wolf and Red Tiger have the same bulge.
Hey, random comment by Trent Taylor.
Good old Trent. We can always rely on Trent Taylor to definitely make this not family friendly.
Oh, I know. So, Tommy Coffey.
Yeah, Justin.
People can follow you on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes, mostly Facebook. I have a Twitter. I still don't know how to use it. I'm like caveman when it comes to technology. So, Facebook, look me up, Tom Coffey. Twitter, same thing, Tom Coffey. I even got an Instagram. I barely ever use it either, though. I'm really terrible with, like, social media. But I got, like, 4,600 people following me on Facebook, so that's got to say something, right?
Yeah.
So,
what about you, Brandon?
He's got three people.
Well, he's not the only one that's bad at using social media. But I have a Facebook. I have a Twitter. Facebook is Brandon Wolf. There's a Facebook page with Brandon Wolf Wrestler. I have a Twitter with Brandon Wolfman.
And you have an Instagram too, don't you?
Yeah, it's brandon.wolf.wrestler. And I have an Instagram as brandonwolf96, Snapchat. But
follow me on Snapchat. That's where you get the nudes. That's the only place you get the nudes.
If we're going to Snapchat, it's really complicated because it has nothing to do with my name. It's actually my gamer tag from PlayStation and Xbox. But for anybody listening, though, if you want my Snapchat, it is lowercase x, all capitals gorilla. I think it's an underscore or might be another little x. Try both of them because I don't remember. And then all capitals bear and then lowercase x. The middle thing, like I said, it's either a lowercase x or an underscore. I don't remember. Again, I'm terrible with technology, so I apologize to anybody who is good with technology. But that's my Snapchat. Again, Facebook is Tom Coffee. My Instagram is tcoffee79, like the numbers 79 that make the number 79.
I gotta go.
Right.
I gotta go.